Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Greg Felton of Vancouver, Canada. Greg is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. And in the first hour of the show, we were covering a number of news items. A couple of these involve as follows. The front page of the Washington Post today, Josh White's article, says that many are taking the Army's quick ship bonus. More than 90% of the Army's new recruits since July have accepted a $20,000 quick ship bonus to leave for basic combat training by the end of September. And, of course, we looked at Paul Craig Roberts' post of the last week, which is in the current American Free Press of August 27th. It's entitled, China Holds All the Financial Cards, Can Wreck the U.S. Economy Anytime. And, of course, we have a situation as well today when we look at the news of where it is impossible to calculate the extent to which the United States has put itself in a position of vulnerability that is simply almost incomprehensible for a so-called sole superpower. This gets back to what our caller John in Tennessee was talking about this morning. Are we talking about leadership that is that stupid, or is it conspiratorial? These are among the things we're going to be talking about with Greg Felton this morning, along with the post that he sends me about economic espionage. What is in United States Code Section 18? What is economic espionage? And how does it directly apply to George Bush, especially regarding Israel and the Security and Prosperity Partnership Arrangement for a North American Union? Greg, how are you, sir?
Very well. Yourself, Mark?
Good. You know, there are all kinds of things that we need to talk about today in the next 2 hours. One, I was reading about at 4 a.m. this morning on the front page of the Washington Post, this morning's Washington Post. It's entitled, Many Take Army's Quick Ship Bonus. Josh White of the Washington Post says that more than 90% of the Army's new recruits since late July have accepted a $20,000 quick ship bonus to leave for basic combat training by the end of September, putting thousands of Americans into uniform almost immediately. What do you think of this $20,000 bonus to get some quick sign-ups, apparently, for this operation in Iraq? What do you think that that's saying, Greg?
Well, it seems the United States is so hard up for soldiers, they have to bribe them out of civilian life.
That's my take on it.
I haven't heard that, but I do know the United States Army is really having trouble meeting its recruitment quotas and is having to resort to highly unethical practices to fill depleted ranks, such as attack going after people who have just been released from military asylums, people who are not mentally right in the head. There's a part of my book about this too. But I mean, $20,000.
$20,000.
That's pretty hefty.
Yeah, it's pretty hefty stuff, and you know, it appears to be a part of this larger picture that both you and Paul Craig Roberts have talked about, and I happen to know someone in San Antonio whose name I cannot use in the air. This is a very fine young woman who happens to be in the Army at Fort Sam Houston here in San Antonio, Texas, and she has a husband who is in the process of being shipped out for his third tour of duty in the Middle East, specifically to Iraq. And this is somebody who has been clinically diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, but he's being sent back anyway and apparently into a combat situation in Iraq. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Greg Felton.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
From San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, Greg Felton of Vancouver, Canada, joins us this morning. Greg is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. You can buy that book through Dandelion Books, that's Carol Adler's company in Tempe, Arizona. And, of course, those of you who use Amazon.com can find that that is a very quick and efficient way as well as of picking up Greg's latest, which is a Dandelion Books publication. Greg, before we move on, in terms of this whole business of American foreign policy, or should we say American domestic policy, as it relates to procuring people who are willing to serve in Iraq, clearly this Washington Times post today about a $20,000 bonus, a so-called quick ship bonus, to get people into uniform and to get them into the Middle East almost immediately, seems to dovetail with some other things that we were just starting to get into that you cover in your book about what you say are highly unethical practices on the part of military recruiters in the United States to get young people into this effort. Apparently it involves folks who have been recruited into the service who would have been previously disqualified because of certain types of criminal backgrounds. And as I was mentioning before the break, I know of at least one case here in San Antonio personally that corroborates what Paul Craig Roberts has been speaking of, and that is that we have individuals with clinically diagnosed cases of post-traumatic stress syndrome that has been combat-related, who have been simply shipped back into combat situations in the Middle East, in Iraq, in some cases for a second, third, or even fourth time. What is all of this saying?
Well, quite clearly, Americans don't want to serve in Iraq. There aren't enough Americans to be sent over to fight. Most of the fighting in Iraq, by the way, is not done by the regular military. It's done by the reservists and the National Guards, and increasingly by mercenaries. The American military is stretched so thinly that it's thought the American military cannot withstand its deployment beyond next spring. So the United States is having to find more inventive and less ethically defensible ways to staff its war in Iraq, which is so onerous that it's just burning through the military. Right now in Iraq, the Air Force is suffering from such fatigue and stress that airmen are having to survive on Red Bull just to keep alert during their shifts, during their sorties. There aren't enough soldiers left to go around, and too many of them are coming back.
I haven't done any recent research on this. I don't know if you have either, Greg, in regard to the actual statistics on this thing. What, if you happen to have them, and I don't have them in front of me, what are the statistical percentages on the number of people in Iraq who are involved in this thing with the American military who, in fact, are coming out of a reserve status, coming out of a National Guard unit, or, in fact, have a connection to a private defense contractor?
I don't have the actual figures in front of me, but they're not hard to find out. I can probably find that out for you by tomorrow's show. But the fact that the soldiers in America, the civilian soldiers, the reservists and the National Guardsmen, are not being allowed to return to their civilian lives. They've had their tours of duty extended arbitrarily into second and
right.
third tours. The stop-loss. Without the stop-loss laws that prevent the civilians from returning home, the Americans would not have enough soldiers to meet their commitments in Iraq. And let's not forget that America has more to do than just fight Iraq. They have bases all over the world. They have not only domestic bases, but they have military bases in Germany. They have them in throughout the world, through Australia, in Taiwan, South Korea, other parts of the Middle East, Central Asia. As it is now, the United States will not have a large enough military to defend itself should someone decide to attack the country. And right now, if America had to fight a war outside of the Middle East, it hasn't got enough soldiers to do it. And it's having to force itself to pillage its civilian ranks just to fill the military. And already, again, there are people musing about whether we should have a draft the way we did in Vietnam. And we know how well Vietnam turned out. I mean, that was such a successful war. It ended up causing the destruction of the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. And it gave us the theocracy. I don't think there's any better proof that the United States is morally and politically bankrupt than in the way it's destroying its own armed forces, which used to be, at least rhetorically, a symbol of the pride and strength of American democracy. You can't use that anymore. Americans are out there committing war crimes, and understandably, not enough people want to sign up to be, you know, mass murderers. Not just soldiers or Marines or airmen or sailors, but people who go to Iraq for the sole purpose of torturing and destroying Arabs and their civilization for a foreign power. And that is something that's increasingly unacceptable to most Americans. And something very interesting is happening in America right now. There is a growing chasm between what the government says is reality and what the people know to be reality. And this chasm cannot sustain itself for a long time. There's going to be a point where there's going to be a massive implosion in America, and not just an economic one, but a political one. And it's just a matter of time before the United States stops pretending to be a republic and becomes a full-blown admitted oppressive imperial republic, and forces the public, forces its own citizens to underwrite this tyranny through a draft, and therefore civil unrest.
Well, that I think you've identified something here, Greg, that I've been thinking about for a long time, and that is that the policies are morally, politically, and economically unsustainable, and therefore, if one attempts to sustain them, you're going to have to do it through coercion, and that involves a combination of a domestic police state at home in conjunction with the reinstitution of a military conscription policy. And when those types of things, I think when the military conscription comes back, and I suspect that it will, especially if these loons decide to attack Iran and to invade Pakistan, then the lunacy of that is just absolutely beyond me. But clearly, if that is in the cards, they're going to have a draft. And I would suspect that that's the point where we're going to see a level of civil unrest that will repristinate what happened in Vietnam, only I think it'll be worse.
What's also not being reported, and understandably so, is the record numbers of suicides and desertions that are affecting the American forces in Iraq, too. I am finding, I looked at my book here, and in about page 445, 446, I have a section here about by the end of 2004, National Guard and Army Reserve units made up 40% of the U.S. force. And over that same period, desertions rose to 5,500. And that was a significant rise for the armed forces at that time. There, maybe just one paragraph. Lawrence Korb, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, and Brian Katulis, the Center's Director of Democracy and Public Diplomacy, wrote in 2005 that unless the 140,000-odd force in Iraq is reduced, it would develop into a national security liability. Specifically, these men argue that by the end, that 80,000 troops leave Iraq in 2006 and the rest by the end of 2007. Well, we know that's not going to happen. These soldiers should be redeployed to Kuwait, Afghanistan, the Horn of Africa, and Southeast Asia, and all National Guard and Reserve troops should be sent home. And so you have to ask yourself, why is Bush, who bleats like a dyspeptic sheep about national security and Al-Qaeda and other sorts of official bogeymen, deliberately sacrifice the security of the United States in a war it doesn't have to fight and make it impossible for U.S. to maintain its security commitments at home and elsewhere in the world? And, of course, you can take the point of view, like a lot of people do, and say, oh, he's just an idiot, he's a Jesus freak, he doesn't know what he's doing and just causing ruination to the United States Republic. And you could argue that if you wanted, but when someone goes out of his way systematically to do this, and already looking for $30 billion more to give Israel in military aid at the expense of his own people, including American children who he wants to deny basic medical benefits to. I mean, this has to be seen as something more than just stupidity, at least in my opinion it does. Is there not a rational way to explain this without throwing your hands up and saying, oh, it's just inexplicable because this man's a nut? Well, if you look at it from a perspective of Israel essentially running the American show through the Israel lobby, through psychotic, theocratized military class, through a pro-Israel support group in the Pentagon, State Department, and White House, I think you could also make the argument that the United States is committing these atrocities against American self-interest and American lives deliberately as part of a rational plan to serve Israel's greater interest at the expense of the American self-interest.
We'll be back with Greg Felton. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Greg Felton of Vancouver. Greg is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. That is a Dandelion Books publication. That's Carol Adler's company in Tempe, Arizona. Been looking at a couple of news stories today. Paul Craig Roberts' post of the last week, which is now in the American Free Press of August 27th, is entitled, China holds all the financial cards. They can wreck the U.S. economy at any time. Paul Craig Roberts says that no country on earth except for Israel supports the Bush regime's desire to attack Iran. It is China's decision whether it calls in the U.S. ambassador and delivers the message that there will be no attack on Iran or further war unless the U.S. is prepared to buy back $900 billion. That's $900 billion, folks. In U.S. T-bonds and other dollar assets. That comes to us today from Paul Craig Roberts. And then, of course, there's the front page story in today's Washington Post by Josh Waite. Many take Army's quick ship bonus More than 90% of the Army's new recruits since late July have accepted a $20,000 quick ship bonus to leave for basic combat training by the end of September, putting thousands of Americans into uniform almost immediately. Greg, as we think about some of these matters, you've indicated that there are a couple of articles today that we also need to consider as well as we throw them into the mix. One of these involves something called economic espionage. What does United States Code Section 18 have to say about economic espionage? And what, in your view, is the relationship between this particular portion of the U.S. Code and this business of George Bush and Israel and the Security and Prosperity Partnership arrangement for a North American Union?
Well, for example, as you mentioned perhaps your last – maybe you wouldn't have mentioned your last show. You mentioned earlier, I wrote a column for the Canadian Arab News looking at the security and what you would call prosperity partnership from Canada's point of view, and how our Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, is negotiating or discussing this with Mexico and the United States without legislative sanction from the federal parliament. Now, according to our law, and I'm pretty sure it's the same in the United States, your Congress, the House and the Senate, is the sole legislative body for the United States, and the executive branch merely puts into practice the laws passed by the Congress. Well, it's the same up here, to the extent that the executive government puts into practice the parliament, the will of parliament, which represents the public will of Canadians, ostensibly, because only parliament can pass laws. And the problem for us up here is that none of this is being discussed publicly or in the legislature. So Harper is doing this essentially by himself and through the bureaucracy. This is not being debated publicly as the free trade agreement was, or the North American Free Trade Agreement, which, odious as each of those may be, was at least publicly discussed and it was part of the political agenda. And people could vote for their respective political leaders based upon what they thought of it. Now, in the States, we have a scenario whereby if the legislature is not involved, then that seems to violate the Economic Espionage Act, United States Code 18, which concerns the selling of state secrets to people to the detriment of the United States or a party to an economic relationship. I mean, it's a little bit vague from my perspective. I'm not an expert on American law, but this is our U.S. United States Code 18, paragraph 1832 states that in order to be convicted of economic espionage, the government prosecutor must prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant, in this case George Bush, duplicated, communicated, bought, or otherwise obtained or provided access to trade secrets without authorization, or that the defendant, that's in this case Bush, intended to obtain or communicate trade secrets for the economic interests of anyone other than the owner of that product. Now, again, as I say, I'm not an expert in American law, but if you look at the people who benefit from the American economy, the American citizen, it seems to me that George Bush is bargaining away the interests of the American citizen for a private interest and a private self-interest, and that would be the Bush, his own junta, and the military-industrial complex that has been running the United States into the ground since about 2000. So my interest here is looking to see whether or not George Bush could be charged with economic espionage by trying to force a multilateral international economic arrangement on its own people without legislative authority.
We'll be back with Greg Felton. Have a breaking news story that Alberto Gonzalez has resigned and is likely going to be replaced by Michael Chertoff. We'll explore that as well with Greg when Dan Cost America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America, that is a Dandelion Books publication. Folks, Greg has to depart this morning in exactly 1 hour from now, 9:30 a.m. Central Time. He has other commitments going on, and that will be a regular thing, by the way, from here on out up there in Vancouver, where he will be on with us in the mornings, only up through 9:30 in the morning Central Time here on Mondays. And at that very time that Greg will be signing off with us, Alberto Gonzalez, we now find out, is going to be issuing a statement, the statement which will announce that he is resigning as the Attorney General of the United States. Now, folks, that might be good news that we are getting rid of Alberto Gonzalez, but here's the bad news. All of the available preliminary indications are that Bush is going to nominate Homeland Security Director Michael Chertoff to be the next Attorney General of the United States. This man is a dual citizen, He owns citizenship in Israel. He is an Israeli citizen as well as an American citizen. Michael Chertoff's mother was a bigwig in the Israeli Mossad intelligence community. That would take an entire week to go into that one. But he's about to replace Alberto Gonzalez as the Attorney General of the United States. There's also something else going on in this story, and that is this, that Alberto Gonzalez is just the latest high-ranking Bush official to suddenly decide to get out of Dodge. There was White House Counselor Dan Bartlett. He's gone. Budget Director Rob Portman. He's gone. Chief White House Attorney Harriet Myers. She's gone. Political Director Sarah Taylor. She's gone. Deputy National Security Advisor J.D. Crouch is gone. And obviously Donald Rumsfeld. Now Alberto Gonzalez is the latest casualty to be replaced by Mr. Police State himself, Michael Chertoff. What, Greg, do you make of this announcement?
You forgot to mention Karl Rove.
Well, that's right, Karl Rove. I guess I've been trying to suppress that one. I don't want to remind people of that one too much because my own dad's name is Karl, and he's a nice guy, and Karl Rove isn't. But Karl with a K, Rove, is also gone. How could we forget him, right? So we've got a situation where all these people are jumping ship, including Mr. Rove, and now Alberto Gonzalez is getting out of Dodge. Greg, what do you think is happening with this?
Well, obviously, the Bush hunt is coming apart at the seams, and it looks a bit like the Nazi regime in 1945. Everybody's leaving or committing suicide or just jumping. There's nothing left. I just don't see how this government can actually continue. I don't know why there isn't some mechanism in the state to say, okay, this government is just not functioning. Let's replace it with something else, what we call an election. I mean, there's no government in America. This is insane. And if Michael Chertoff is actually put up to be Attorney General, what more proof do you have than that Israel is running the United States? This would be like putting an Israeli within a whisker of the White House, an actual Israeli citizen within an arm's breadth of running the country formally with sanction of Congress if this individual is approved.
And not just an Israeli, but one who is clearly connected and has been for a very long period of time to the Israeli intelligence community.
Nothing in the United States happens that really surprises me, kind of appall me anymore. I think I've seen just about everything that's really possible in this what used to be a republic. And in many ways, it seems to validate the conclusion that I came up with in my book, is that the United States is so rife with corruption at the ministerial and sub-ministerial levels that nothing short of a major house cleaning can help the United States. It is impossible for the American Republic to survive without impeachment hearings right now against Bush and his entire entourage, which is why. But it's not going to happen because Nancy Pelosi, who is the Speaker of the House, she's head of the Senate now, I believe. She's as corrupt as anyone else. She's in the pocket of the Israel lobby. She's not going to start impeachment proceedings because she doesn't want to lose her ability to run for re-election, and she doesn't want to undermine the ability of the Democrats to contest the White House. Nothing. I'm actually appalled. I'm disgusted. If what you say is true, I've not seen anything about Chertoff being given the lead to go into the Attorney General's position. But I just don't know what to say about this. It's almost comedic. Like you couldn't write a movie script that's as bad as this.
Yeah, it's tragic comedic. And in terms of this thing with Chertoff, this is what these usual unnamed senior administration sources are saying to CNN that the replacement is going to be Chertoff. That's not been firmly announced. Let's hope that they're going to come forth and say that this is not the case. But you know what strikes me, Greg, when I listen to your analysis of all of this, it seems that quite clearly the deck chairs are being rearranged on the deck of the Titanic, and that when we look at the Bush administration as people exit, the only thing that seems to happen is that they end up being replaced by somebody who's arguably even worse. I don't know how it would be possible to be too much worse than Alberto Gonzalez, but apparently Chertoff could well fill that bill. And then, as you point out, Greg, when you look at the alleged other side of the political aisle, we're looking at a series of people in the Democratic Party, including Ms. Clinton, who are clearly bought and paid for by the Israeli establishment and the Israeli intelligence community and the central banking establishment. So once again, this leaves the average citizen in the United States at a complete loss for having any option whatsoever to vote for in this present campaign, with, in my judgment, the singular exception of Ron Paul, who's running in the Republican primaries. And yet it's pretty clear to you and to me, Greg, that to say the least, Dr. Paul is not likely to be nominated. And so when we come into the fall of 2008, we are likely to be faced with Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
Or Tweedledummer. So we end
yes.
up with a scenario where you have a thoroughly corrupt political culture, an American electorate that has nowhere to turn, and if they can't respect the political system, they have to find some way else to express their political will. And again, this is where I don't know what's going to happen between now and 2010 or 2015, but the American state is not sustainable. It's like the economy. It's not sustainable. It needs to have a complete reorganization, a complete rethought, and it has to be structured on a more intelligent, rational foundation. Who's going to prosecute Bush or Gonzalez or Rove? What judge is going to try these people for treason? Especially when the Supreme Court now has, I think it's five people who are bought and paid for by the fascist clique. There's Scalia, there's Thomas, there's Roberts, there's Alito.
Yes.
You know, there's four of them there that are really bought and paid for by the Bush, Reagan era judges. One of the few people that you can trust to do an intelligent job of administering cases are Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Anthony Kennedy. These are people that are intelligent, and they are the swing votes between the fascists and the constitutionalists. But I mean, who's going to allow these people to be prosecuted? Can the good judges on the Supreme Court be relied upon to do the right thing, or will they look at the most convenient way and say, okay, this is just not acceptable? I mean, it was the Supreme Court that allowed the Pentagon Papers to be published. Henry Blackmun. Memory's failing me. Wrote that the Supreme Court had the obligation to allow this to happen. That's to allow the Pentagon Papers to be published for the sake of the national interest. I don't see that happening now. I don't think there is a national interest left. And it's going to be very interesting to see just the chasm between official morality and official belief systems and what the public really believes express itself in the 2008 primaries. Did you know that right now, speaking of Amazon books with respect to my book earlier on, the yet unpublished book by John Mearsheimer and Stephen Walt, The Israel Lobby, it's in pre-order, and it's already 116th on the Amazon bestseller list. And that's up from 124 just a couple of days, just yesterday. It's number one.
Yeah, and I think that this gets into the statistics on your book too, Greg, The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. And as people are reading Greg Felton and as they're reading Mearsheimer and Walt, I think that this is just one more example of how this sort of information dissemination is going to make it increasingly impossible for the central state and their minions in corporate media to continue to package lies and to engage in the Hegelian dialectic and all of the diversionary tactics that are utilized to confuse people leading up to another presidential election cycle. They're running out of stunts. More people, I think, are beginning to realize that something is way wrong, and as they start searching out there for the truth, lo and behold, they're finding people like Felton, Mearsheimer, and Walt. And I think when it comes to the Israeli political establishment in the United States, that the wheels are beginning to come off, and some of the more desperate things that Abe Foxman of the ADL has been doing in recent times suggests that he's panicking, and it suggests that there are a lot of other people out there of his ilk who are panicking too.
Well, that's right. I mean, this is the most interesting thing that I've noticed lately, is that the Israel lobby, for the longest time, was an invisible, almost, I don't want to use a cliche, like a puppet master, but it was behind the scenes and didn't have to come out from hiding very much. Now it's front and center in public debate. It's actually being attacked openly. And the Israel lobby, like all criminals, does not like the glare of the spotlight. It does not have like having to account for itself. Tony Soprano does not like having to talk to the press about what he's doing. He does not like to have to explain that he's not really in waste management. And this, that the butt of being is not just your average strip club. He doesn't like having to account for this. And what's happening in the States is this is a major festering sore that is finally being discussed. And I don't know how it's going to play out in the next 5 or 6 years. It's just so bizarre. Especially how this is going to affect, I think, a lot of radical Christians. I mean, there are people who belong to the Catholic or Protestant denominations, and these are the Christians that that pretty much I grew up with when I was going to school, or that I thought of as Christians. But now the Christians have become almost psychotic, and they're buying into the dispensationalist end times mentality. And how this is sort of polluting the military, for example. I don't know if you saw the piece by Thomas Williams and J.P. Briggs II, who wrote for Truth Out. But their fringe evangelicals are corrupting the U.S. military policy. And for the longest time, the military, the Pentagon, has been trying to steer clear of the crazies, the Jesus freaks that are trying to turn the military into an instrument for mass murder in the name of the Bible and bringing all the Jews back home to Palestine so Jesus can make his return engagement on back to earth. I mean, the military has been pushing these people away and trying to ignore them. But it's becoming increasingly impossible because you now have generals and colonels and admirals going to religious functions, wearing their uniforms, expressing their belief in their psychotic Christian eccentrism. And these people are the ones that are helping prosecute the war in Iraq. There's actually one general who said that they were fighting the devil in Iraq. Anybody talking about fighting the devil with the military is not sane. This is psychosis.
I did read the Truth Out piece, and you know it was quite instructive to me that because San Antonio is an Air Force town. And, of course, my dad's a retired Air Force officer, that I occasionally get a chance to talk to people who still attend the military chapel program at a couple of the local Air Force bases here in San Antonio. And when you chat with some of these folks off the record, I think there's a certain picture that emerges. Whether they are explicitly dispensational or not, it seems to me that they still have this idea that there is a merger between cross and flag to such an extent that to have any constructive conversation or discussion about Mr. Bush or Israel or what's happening to these kids in Iraq is tantamount in their minds to wearing the communist hammer and sickle on a sweatshirt or something. And it's interesting to watch because if that's the thinking of at least a few of the folks that I encounter who attend the chapel programs of some of our local Air Force bases, it's a little scary when you read the Truth Out story that you made reference to, Greg, and see that apparently at high-ranking levels of the American military, in some of their schools, some of their war colleges, some of their policy planning bureaus and so forth, that this element is there. And they're in more strength than ever. I remember when my dad was in the Air Force years and years ago, and my father retired as a full colonel after 32 years of service, that when he was at the Air War College in Montgomery, Alabama, which is now called Air University, it's still in Montgomery, still connected with Maxwell Air Force Base. I understand that our local Air Force Base here in San Antonio, Randolph Air Force Base, where probably every fighter pilot in the Air Force came through here at one time or another for training, used to be the Air Training Command here at Randolph. Now it's the Air Education and Training Command. And at that particular command, oversees Air University now at Maxwell Air Force Base. But when my dad was at the Air War College, or now Air University, going back to the time of the Kennedy administration, you did not see those kinds of views being expressed at these war colleges, at least by people who were deemed to be in positions of authority and doing the lecturing, people grading papers, mainstream conversation among students. This kind of religious theocratic talk would have been considered to be lunacy back in those days.
Well, it is lunacy, and there's this great line by Bill Moyers. He says, "One of the biggest changes in politics in my lifetime is that the delusional is no longer marginal." I love that. It has come in from the fringe to sit in the seat of power in the Oval Office and in Congress. For the first time in our history, ideology and theology hold a monopoly of power in Washington, which is why the United States is insane, it is not a republic, and it must be formally destroyed before it can be rebuilt.
I think both right and left can affirm that, Greg. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America on RBN. Stay tuned for Greg Felton.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Yeah. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains 3 DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
We'll be right back.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today, as usual on Mondays, is Greg Felton of Vancouver, Canada, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. And again, Greg will be with us today until 9:30 in the morning Central Time, and we will await at that hour, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, the statement from Alberto Gonzalez that's going to be read at that juncture announcing his resignation as Attorney General of the United States. Is Mr. Bush really going to name Michael Chertoff Mr. Israel, Mr. Israeli Intelligence Community Asset, to the position of Attorney General of the United States? As Greg points out this morning, if that happens, it will be the icing on the cake of what we already know, and that is that the Israeli lobby is running the government of the United States. Here's a story, folks, by the way, and we're going to be going to another commercial break in about 2 minutes, and then we'll have Greg back on for the last half hour of his presentation today. This is a story that I think has tremendous significance. I just don't know what it is. A source in Chicago sends me something of great significance this morning. I think we're going to be coming back to this story in a year or two. There's something going on here, folks. I just don't know what it is. Hartford, Connecticut byline, AP story, August 26th. Burglars broke into U.S. Senator Christopher J. Dodd's office here late Saturday, taking undisclosed items and leaving evidence at the scene, the police said. Investigators declined to say what was stolen or what was left behind at the office, which is on Lewis Street. Jamie Raddus, a spokesman for Mr. Dodd, confirmed the break-in, but she said she was not sure what was taken. The police said that they believe that the suspects jumped from the roof of a building next door onto the fire escape of the building that houses Mr. Dodd's office and broke in through a second-story window. The burglary occurred between 10 and 11 p.m. Mr. Dodd is seeking the 2008 Democratic nomination for president. What's going on here, folks? I don't pretend to know. I would not have thought that United States Senator Christopher J. Dodd would have been a high-priority target for political burglars, but that's exactly what is alleged to have happened in Hartford. This is an AP story that has been reproduced in today's New York Times. There was a break-in into Senator Dodd's office late Saturday night. Undisclosed items were taken. Evidence was left at the scene. What does this mean? I have no idea, but I think it means something. We need to keep an eye on this story in the days ahead, and I think that Greg Felton, with his magic as an investigative reporter, is just the perfect guy over the course of the next few weeks and months to be watching this story for us. We're getting ready to go to a break, and we'll be back with Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. When Mark Dankos America returns live to you from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
With 3